Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Does anybody feel like it's colder than it was yesterday?
Yeah, it's cold.
Just a bit of a headache, Alistair.
Can I see your hands?
You want to flip a coin?
Oh, get kicked snow right on my head, Jack.
You're going to get mad at me?
Oh, God, I forgot you were here.
Come on, who knows what he's hiding?
Yeah, okay.
What's up?
I also need that back.
Did that not carry over from Mastica?
And can you keep an eye on Jack or give him a little... see what's up with him?
I'll go strike up a conversation like I often do.
he's like, he throws the axe over his shoulder. And he's like casually like sidling over.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is season 2, episode 62, On the Level.
MVP this week is Galaxy, who is nominated by Stuff and Such RQG. They wrote, "Thank you so much, Galaxy, for introducing me to the newest obsession, Dice Shame. It's so fun to scream about with you. You're the sweetest, and I love you to bits." Good on you, Stuff and Such, for the MVP nom, and thank you, Galaxy.
Shall we do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo! Woo!
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well,
well, well, well, well.
Here
well.
We are again.
Who's down the well?
Little Jimmy.
Poor little Jimmy.
Oh, God.
Never actually watched Lassie. I only know that from, like, cultural osmosis. Mm-hmm. Lassie saves Jimmy people fell down that the well. Falls yeah. and oh. fell in wells, I guess. Is that like a reoccurring thing in multiple episodes, God, though?
Keep this kid away from wells.
Or was that just like a really important episode? Because that's kind of become...
They really need to do something about that well.
It was stolen from the baby Jessica thing, right?
No, this is well before the baby Jessica thing.
Really?
Old Yeller oh, is like, yeah, not yeah. Old Yeller. Fucking Lassie's like, what, Lassie? Someone fell down the well.
When did Lassie come into play culturally?
50s.
50s?
Episode yeah. 24 is called The Well. It would originally broadcast 1955.
So baby Jessica stole her idea from Lassie, is yeah. what we're saying.
I also just like this here just says, is little Timmy stuck in the well? Did Timmy really fall into the well? No.
Wait. It's
apparently,
a fraud?
Apparently Timmy never fell in the well.
It's fake. It's like one of those Luke, I am your father type things where people think it's one
Mandela
thing, but it's
effect.
Actually, no, I am your father.
I feel like at the lake growing up as a kid, it might have been like on as a rerun somewhere that it was just like a... on in the background. I feel like I've seen a Lassie, but it could very easily have been the Littlest Hobo. And
I've seen a Lassie. I've seen a Lassie. I don't know.
I've seen a dog.
Could have been the yeah. 50 Lassie, the 94.
I think
Lassie.
I've seen more the Littlest Hobo than Lassie.
Yeah, let's
that's
say maybe
sure.
you're thinking a
never
littlest,
seen that
littlest
one
hobo.
Is Littlest Hobo Canadian?
Yes.
Or maybe it's Old Yeller you're thinking.
Definitely seen Old Yeller many times. That was actually a beloved VHS that we had in the Fallick household. Ooh. And honestly, given how much I love dogs, I can't imagine my parents showing that to little me over and over and over God. Again. But I guess because we lived on a farm for a while.
Maybe.
They wanted you to know farm life.
The death of animals
dogs die.
Happened kind of frequently. Yeah. And I think I felt differently about it when I was a kid than when I
think, it was
think about it now.
Homeward Bound was maybe the one that we that was
one
repeat
that one
in our house.
Or there's like two versions of that. There's Homeward Bound and like The Longest Journey or some shit. What's the other one
Especially
called?
Especially the remake.
No, it's The Incredible Journey is Homeward Bound. Is a direct to DVD Homeward Bound.
Yeah, okay, so it was called The Incredible Journey in 1963, and then they remade it, and it was called Homeward Bound.
Oh,
and then
okay.
actually it was called Homeward Bound .. The Incredible Journey. So okay. I guess they did both.
Now we know.
And then Homeward Bound 2.
And based on a book, apparently. I didn't know that.
And
a
that's...
Scottish book.
We're Homeward Bound today, aren't we?
Wait, does that make Mari sassy? The cat?
Yes, correct.
I forgot that's what her name was. Yeah, yeah.
Chase? Yeah.
Your brothers have fallen down a well.
Lucky?
Chance, Shadow, and Sassy.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
But does anyone
God.
Know the names of the original
no.
dogs from the original movie?
What is it? What are they?
Frodo.
Samwise.
Ring?
Samwise.
Luath? Luath? L-U-A-T-H.
Never.
I don't know how to even pronounce
no
that.
Dog's ever been named that in
Luath?
History.
Bodger.
Are you
Oh, they sound very Scottish.
The Scottish are weird.
Bodger. And Tao, T-A-O.
So it is a D&D party.
No, but okay, but here's the really weird thing. I didn't know this. So it's written by a Scottish author, but it takes place in northwestern Ontario.
Wait, what?
Huh.
Yeah. It's set in the northwestern part of Ontario, which has many lakes, rivers, and widely dispersed farm animals and towns. So it's actually, I didn't realize how Canadian it was.
Wow.
Yeah, wait, is this The Greatest Journey, or what was it called?
The Incredible Journey? The Incredible Journey, the novel, which I guess was adapted into that. But I don't remember the movies being in the Canadian wilderness. Yeah, it's what, they travel 300 miles, through the Canadian wilderness.
Probably we did so measure miles in that.
Yeah, that's fair. I wonder though if like the original novel has like, you know, touchstones in the Canadian wilderness where it's like, oh, he came by the 401 and
beep beep, I'm on Highway 69 heading north. I just pulled up the Wikipedia page and I do like Bodger, whose full name is Champion Burrowcastle Brigadier of Down.
Yes. Yeah.
Come now.
Yes, which is a clunky
We've
name
really dropped the ball on animal names lately.
For real.
Yes.
I'm so surprised that it takes place in Canada, in Ontario of all places. That's so
Are they in Sudbury? What is this?
Oh no, but she moved to Canada, the author of this, right? Like she
oh, yeah.
yeah, I assume she didn't write it from Scotland to yeah.
Just imagining
I'm sure
what Canada's like
where she lost her two dogs and cat
I was assuming that was
part of it. I didn't. I wasn't thinking she wrote it from Scotland. I'm.
I truthfully wasn't sure. If you're saying, well, the Scottish author in my mind, well, they must have lived in Scotland whole life
because the Wikipedia page says Scottish author blank blank. I read that much at first, and then it's and so I assumed she immigrated or whatever. But anyway,
let us now D&D.
Allow us to D&D.
Woo! Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sounds like you're dodging fucking dodgeballs.
As the cold light of dawn illuminates your makeshift campsite, we see hastily erected tents covered in a thick layer of snow, your once brightly burning campfire now just a sooty, wet smudge. It should raise your spirits somewhat, however, to hear that you have all leveled up. Level 10.
Nice.
Y'all leveled for
Does
this?
Does that get like a fun like sound effect in the background?
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, it's going to go like this. Wow, that was what a fun sound
Good
effect.
Good sound effect. Great everyone. Sound effect.
It really totally feels like leveling up. That's
really carried it.
Wah, wah.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, shit. Alex, your headphones must not be working. We all heard it.
He's suffering from momentary deafness. congratulations, all of you. It's been a while.
Thanks. It was a tough game, but, you know, we gave it 110%, and, you know, we really went out there and really gave it our all this week.
Ooh, wow.
I would love to hear from each of you about your new level 10 characters. Tell the audience at home what we can be expecting from your person, and what's your favorite thing. And if you're rolling for hit dice, we can do that as well. Should we start with the fresh meat?
Yes.
Alex Nersal, did you want to give us the down low on Mari?
I can.
This is fun because this is my first leveling up with you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we love you for it.
Yes, I'm very excited because there's something so fun about starting with a high level character and then only getting stronger.
Just incrementally.
I know. Yes, incrementally. Mm-hmm. But yes, Mari's staying mostly the same. I get a few more hit points because I'm a coward and I'm just going with the average plus my constitution modifier.
All right, where do you end up?
That puts me at 93 hit points. Hooray. Oof, which is still like a solid number.
Beefy babe.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Babe, you're beefy.
Oh my God. Oh. Mari is the beefcake of the party. She weighs 130 pounds soaking wet. And
she can take a punch.
Yeah, but only one.
Come on.
And
from a giant, maybe.
From a giant, yes. I think the big change is that the starry form, which I've slowly been working with, gets a lot more fun with this because now there's three forms for starry form, two of which I've used, one of which is still in my back pocket. Now I can change it at the top of my turn without using an action. So I can swap starry forms, which are good because they all have different forms. And also one of them, the dragon form, which I pulled out relatively recently, I can now fly with it. So I actually get a fly speed.
Nice.
Which means you get airborne, Mari. So she's going to be up there just laying down the law with guiding bolts.
Airborne Mari. So,
yeah. So, and I think that's the biggest part is that I now get to, my starry form is going to be a little more entertaining. Also, the fun thing, and I think I told Joe this, but one of the starry forms allows for more healing stuff, and now I just get to stack healing stuff. So like if I do a healing spell, I get the spell, and then if I'm in the form, it's 2d8 on top of that, plus 5, and if I'm holding the sickle, then it's another 1d4. So yeah, so now it's going to be good for healing. But I think that's the big thing. I got some more spells I got some more hit points, and yeah, that's where I've netted out.
Nice.
Any spell you're particularly excited about?
I mean, I am excited to have that extra fifth level spell slot now, so now I can no longer just be camping on it and hoping that no one requires me to use Greater Restoration again, which is mostly what I've been doing. Now I can also hurt people with it, but... I'm kind of looking forward to spike growth.
Sounds good.
Which is like a lower level spell, but it is in a 20-foot radius. Basically, I can just lay out just a shitload of spikes, and it makes it difficult terrain. And also, every time anything moves through it, every 5 feet is 2d4 piercing damage.
Nice.
So if it's a tight space, good luck getting down that hallway.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's my...
I played in a Pathfinder campaign as a druid around level 10, 11, and I was like a pit and spike-based druid.
Yes.
So it was all like spiked pit, spike growth, a lot of like molding terrain, but mostly spike-based. So I'm really excited to see that in combat.
I've got some things I've been reading up on and some stuff that I want to do, and I want... to just make life a whole lot more difficult for the enemies and just start healing the shit out of everyone. I actually like being a healer. People complain about it and they don't want to be it because it's like not like the most dramatic role, but I think it's great. Also, please protect me. I'm the only one saving you from death.
Very true.
Oh, that's why you're doing it. You're not doing it because you like it. You just want us to save you.
Basically, yes. Please protect the squishy magic user. I am the one with all the healing spells.
I was going to say, you say squishy, but you recognize that you have probably the most hit points now.
I think you're
within. Squishy healer. I got none. It's like, fuck it, Mari. Go. You should be first in line.
On top of the wild shape.
You're within 10 points of Doran, probably.
I think so. Yeah, I think
the wild shape is basically a well of HP.
It's
also.
True. It's true. That wild shape. I mean, I feel like I'll be burning it a lot on Starry Form, but
that's fair.
But that one makes me
very
fly.
Cool. Red, tell us about level 10 Red. What are you excited about?
Well, first and foremost, I've been converted, at least for this level. I, especially early on, would take the standard no roll for hit die because honestly. I have a zero with my con, and I just couldn't risk it at the early levels. And I feel like it's fair, because at the early levels, I can't risk a one. But now that I'm getting a little beefier, and honestly, the party is stronger overall, I can risk getting a one. So I am going to roll it right here, right now.
Ooh.
Let's do
it. Is this a first? Dice shame first.
Rolling.
What? That is a 10 on a D10.
Whoa.
I've just gone up 10 hit points.
Look here.
10 more hit points. So yeah, that bumps me up to 76 hit points.
Not bad. Excellent.
Not bad at all. Beyond that,
not bad.
Ranger or Unearthed or Arcana Rangers I'm playing is not great. Rangers are pretty famously shit, but you know, hey, listen, I love playing Red because we have given him all manner of exciting ways to make Rangers fun and accessible. But all I get this level, I get no new spells, no new anything. But what I do get is I get Hide in Plain Sight, which is interesting. I can opt not to move on my turn. Instead of like rolling to hide, I can just opt not to move. And if I do that, then any creature that's attempting to detect me takes a negative 10 penalty to their perception check. And that can carry over if I don't move turn after turn, basically. So
very cool.
I don't know why I my mind jumps to this, but there's a scene in the Hunger Games where the dude like paints his face and he like looks like a log. And for some reason, my mind goes there. It's like when you don't move, you just kind of like stay perfectly still. You kind of blend into the scenery.
That's
but maybe a better analogy and a less embarrassing one would be in Lord of the Rings when Frodo like throws the cloak over him and they're like indecipherable from the landscape.
Sure.
It's just like, you know, they didn't have to roll hide. They just kind of don't move and everything is good. And that, to my knowledge, and believe me, I'm going to be looking while everyone else levels up, is the only thing I get.
The only thing you get.
But not even more spell slots. It's just it's like nothing.
I was just imagining it's like in Predator when Arnold Schwarzenegger is covered in mud and the Predator can't see him because he's like, he's cold now. And that's what I'm imagining. Red's just like completely disgusting, like covered in mud. And it's like, did you do that? No, I just look like this.
That's fair. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it only really benefits me. It's interesting because in the player's handbook, because Rangers are so weak, they have like optional things you can take at each level. They're like, or take this at this level if you fucking want. I don't know. But the other option wasn't even that good either. It was like, I could take a D8 of temporary hit points. So it still only benefits me. And I was like, whatever. I might as well just continue to be sneaky. So, but yeah, that's it for me. Very happy about 10 more hit points. So I'm at 76 hit points right now. So that's
nice.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm beefier myself.
Hell yeah. Doran, what are we looking at for level 10, Doran?
Yeah. So, I rolled a 9.
Ooh, pretty decent.
For my hit points.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to pick 2 more maneuvers for my combat superiority.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
Actually, I was able to replace one as well. So what I did is I replaced my maneuvering attack, which would have essentially, I never used it. I could have said, oh, you know, you go over there instead of, you know, maneuver one of your people into a better position. I never really used it. So I've replaced that with a disarming attack. And the disarming attack is just that, you know, I can disarm an opponent. And then I also took as 2 new ones, the brace feat, which is kind of cool. It's like the same effect of attack of opportunity, except when a creature moves into reach, I can use a reaction to expend a superiority die and then attack the creature and add my superiority die.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
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 That's really good. I love that.
So that one's kind of cool. And then the other one is a precision attack, which when I attack a creature, I attack them with more power.
You just hit them harder.
Good.
Before or after making the attack roll, mm-hmm. so I can add my superiority die to that attack damage.
Sounds like Doran's never going to miss. Between all the lucky stuff, plus you could always throw a precision Hells attack.
Yeah.
Improved critical, all that. Very cool.
I have a quick question before we move on. Tasha's Cauldron of Everything has another option for me, actually, which I didn't realize. It's called Nature's Veil.
Nature's Veil.
So it's book published. It's a 10th level feature that replaces the hide and sight feature.
Mm-hmm.
You gain no benefit from the replace feature, blah, 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 blah. You draw on the powers of nature to hide yourself from view briefly. As a bonus action, you can magically become invisible, mm-hmm. along with any equipment you're wearing or carrying until the start of your next turn. So it's one turn. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain it during a long rest.
Do you want that instead?
I mean,
join me in being a nature hippie.
So it's
invisible, it's versus fucking
easily more powerful, but there's a limited number of times per long rest.
Which
and
I'm
just recall
totally
that we're
with.
Extending the long rest
I mean,
situation.
Put it this way. Hide in plain sight gives me absolutely zero joy.
If this is
I already
make
get with Pass Without Trace, which I use pretty often, it already grants plus 10, and this is just like a selfish version of that, because it'd be like, hey guys, I'm gonna be stealthy and not move, but you guys can't
get fucked.
This at least gives me some like movement around. Are you cool if I do that?
Yeah,
cool. Then I'm just gonna retake it. And for my level 10, which I'm really excited about, in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, there is the Nature's Veil option, which replaces the Hide in Plain Sight feature, which instead says you draw on the powers of nature to hide yourself from view briefly. As a bonus action, you can magically become invisible along with any equipment you're wearing or carrying until the start of your next turn. And I can use this a number of times equal to my proficiency bonus, and I get them all back when I finish a long rest. So I am hands down going to take the Nature's Veil option, because that to me is infinitely cooler for many, many reasons, and a really exciting thing. And again, it's funny, reading through Rangers, the amount of things they're like, optionally take this. It's like they know it sucks. And they're like, but you know, we got options, guys. Don't worry. Take this instead.
Yeah.
Well. So yeah, Nature's Veil option. Red's invisible.
Can you do that like outside of outside of combat, or
it says until the end of your next turn?
Oh, so turn. So yeah, probably just in
whenever
combat.
You're in turn-based situations.
Yeah.
Last but not least, Jack Page.
Yeah.
Level 10.
I mean, Jack's having a time at the moment, having just had his head rattled a little bit. So much so that he's actually changed subclasses.
Wow.
So he's no longer a lore master, and we'll soon discover he's going to be journeying and learning the School of Illusion.
Oh, neato. Which, you know, story-wise kind of makes sense because we've now got someone that's a little bit more of a, well, the druid. She's got the lore and the animals and the...
Yeah.
Well, just to take a look behind the curtain here, we have been essentially playtesting this lore master wizard for the past 10 levels, aka 4 years. And we found that it's a little bit unbalanced. And from what we've read on the internet, that seems to be a very common opinion. So I think just in the spirit of trying to have a game that feels a little bit more even, we're just retooling Jack a little bit.
Yeah, so there's lots of new things that are going to come out, but a lot of them definitely focus around illusions and manipulating them and trying to relearn how magic works for Jack. And I'm going to roll my hit points.
Hell yeah.
Do it.
Nice.
And I got a 3. So 5 hit points, bringing me up to 70 total.
Nice.
Solidly in the rear.
It's a good even number, though.
Nice. Yeah, that's okay.
Wait, Alex, how many hit points do you have now?
106.
All right.
Nice.
Alex wins.
Yeah. I've also just been sending Rob gifts of Job from Arrested Development. And he's like, I'm doing illusions now.
Illusions.
The new Jack Page.
It's just jokes.
He's really taking a hard turn here.
Yeah. Did you have any spells or any abilities that you're excited to showcase?
I mean, I think there's a lot of really cool things, but even just like minor illusion now can make sounds and picture happen at the same time. And all of his other illusions, he can sort of...
Ooh.
Set the parameters of when he casts the spell, and as an action anytime while it's going on, change the parameters so they can kind of evolve with them. So he can disguise self and change that disguise as an action throughout the rest of that hour or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I feel like as a group, you've all gotten more strategic and sneaky this level.
That was our plan.
Yes. Strategy.
I don't know about Mari. She's going to be really shiny and flying. So she's
Everyone else is like, don't look at me, don't look at me. And Mari's like, look at me.
I'm a dragon.
Very cool. So.
So now that we know.
So you guys wake up. It is the morning of the 10th of Alturiac, the claw of winter. And as I don't know if you guys remember, we got a lot of claws coming up. Yeah. It's the first of 3 claw months for some reason.
The quarter of the claw.
I don't know about the writers of whoever wrote these month names, but
they've seen lobster rolls the whole time.
David, you'd be good. Another claw.
Sure, Michael. Yeah. Whatever you think.
Whatever you think. We're both getting paid the same amount of money, right? All right. Claude is.
Does anybody feel like it's colder than it was yesterday?
Ah! Red sits up, snow falling from him. Ugh. Yeah, it's cold, because the damn tent wasn't working. What the hell happened?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I don't mind sleeping outside, but, you know, I've gotten used to a few comforts. I gotta reset my thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, who usually is the first up to see the sunset, has taken a leisurely time... hanging out in his tent until crawling out once everybody else is up.
I love the idea that like all of us like get out and we're all like looking towards the blank spot that Jack usually is, and then like we all turn as like rumbling comes from the tent and like bed ahead Jack comes out.
Yeah,
and, like,
totally.
What the hell's happened?
Yeah. Still Jack. Looking a bit charred from the night before.
Yeah, hasn't really had time to put himself together yet. Isn't ready for people. No. And
he's not coiffed.
Coughing is quite hard with the singed hair from last night also. It's Got to find a new look that it is less mad scientist, I think.
Jack, but you've had better days.
Are you okay, Jack?
Oh God, I forgot you were here.
Alistair Noggins is fully sitting inside of Mari's bedroll. He has made it into his cape with a hood, and he is entrenched.
Just a bit of a headache, Alistair. That's all. Good walk will maybe get us sorted.
God, yeah, she goes over to Jack. She's like, Can I see your hands for a second?
Sure. Yeah, I guess. They're a little bit ink stained and also terribly scarred.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's just looking at the scars. Like, and so are the scars anything visible? Like, are they shaped like anything, or is it just scars?
They are shaped like stuff. There are some symbols that seem to be branded into the palms of Jack's hands. One of the hands is in gnomish script. There's some writing on there. And then the other hand, the right hand, there's some infernal script.
Uh-oh.
She would see the gnomish and she would sort of recognize the look of it from like seeing it but can't read it, but then probably would also, just from vague magic stuff, like recognize maybe that like what infernal is, not be able to read it, but just like hang on a second, like mm-hmm. And like she looks at it and healing magic and all this stuff, like it just doesn't seem to do anything, you know. She kind of can like trace it, but nothing happens. Normally things that would heal quite easily. And she just sort of like looks at Jack and is like, if you want, I can give you I have some salves, I have some herbs. And
no, it hardly even hurts anymore. Thanks for trying. And Jack tries to like hide the symbols on his hand, which he himself hasn't really like stopped to read or do anything with, you know, put them in his pocket and kick a little snow around, kind of trying to find anything to distract people from him at the moment.
Oh, you kicked snow right on my head, Jack. Jeez, all right.
Sorry, I was trying to dig out a campfire.
Yeah, you better. Red like walks up to him and he's like, you know, you really scared me last night. How dare you try to crack that thing open without me? You hurt yourself. I got scared a little bit there.
I'm sorry you were scared.
Look, Jack, you and I have our differences, but I don't want you to die or anything, you know.
I don't
want to
die either. I got lots of life to live.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't have the full emotional range to express how much I care about you, so I'll get mad at you instead.
Classic.
Mari's just over there. She's poking around the fire. She's avoiding Alistair and just, like, starting to make some porridge. Like, oh, God.
Alistair sidles up to you. He's like, classic Red.
Look, man.
Doran's sitting there with Mari, and he's like, sharpening his blade and kind of looks over at Mari and does one of those, like, okay. Looks.
Yeah. Are they always like this?
You're going to get mad at me?
Yeah, I'm going to get mad at you.
Look at what other kind of secrets are you holding in that bag there? Is there anything else you want to bring up to me at the moment? Any other conversations or letters you've been having with anyone?
What? Oh, what? And Red, like, suddenly realizing, like, he woke up this morning just angry about what happened last night because he got scared. And now he's suddenly remembering that you handed the letter back to him. And he's like, what? No. I mean, what?
Exactly. So maybe we'll just make breakfast.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Red, like, turns around and stops and turns back. And he's like, wait, you're angry yet? Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I'll go hunt. And Red, like, walks down to the river. He's, like, talking to himself.
Well, that's... He shouldn't have been my... Well, I shouldn't have talked to... Damn.
Doran, which one of these guys do you want to go talk to? Red or Jack?
Before they kill
each other.
You want to flip a coin?
Love the idea that Mari and Doran are, like, talking and Alistair just, like, leans in slowly between the two of them.
The camera just pans down and he's directly between them.
Yeah, Mari sort of looks at him and goes, like, go find some more wood. We need some more wood for this fire. Go get some branches.
Yeah, yeah, fine. Yeah. Alistair, go with the fire. Alistair, make the branches. Don't even care that I'm a world-class tinkerer.
and have this whole campsite all set up in a jiffy, but no, and robots. And
himself. Anyone who shouts robots under their breath and then wanders off is a hero in my books. So.
He's earning his keep now. I'm here for Krabby Alistair.
Yes.
Strange little guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. He's something's weird, and I don't know what to do with him. And I'm really tired of him being in my tent already.
He's still wearing your bedroll, by the way.
I also need that back.
I think we're gonna be passing the path that'll take him back to Loudwater. Maybe we just send him on his own way.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want him. He's already spent enough time in a pocket. I don't know. I don't want him to get like caught up again in another satchel or whatever he was in.
True.
So we'll figure out what to do with him and figure out what to do with these guys. Because,
well, who do you want to talk to?
I'm gonna go talk to Red because clearly there's a bee in his bonnet, and you gotta go.
Is there really?
Metaphorically.
I didn't think bees were around.
Yeah. Oh, it's metaphorically.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, yeah, you know.
And can you keep an eye on Jack or give him a little, see what's up with him?
Okay. I'll go strike up a conversation like I often do.
Yeah. He's like, he throws the axe over his shoulder and he's like casually like sidling over like whistling to himself. Like, just don't
spinning
mind me.
The axe.
Hey, Jack, how's it going? And Mari wanders down to the water to wherever Red has wandered off to.
Yeah, Red's just firing into the river and pegging salmon and walking over and like pulling them up, throwing these. You come down, there's like a pile of like six really big fat salmon, and he's just like throwing them onto the shore, muttering to himself,
it's privacy these days. I mean, not that I, you know, I mean, I would, but that's different because I, oh, hey, Murray.
Hi. Are you planning to jerk these or what?
What? Oh, you mean dry them? Yeah. Yeah,
I realized that.
There's a much different, where I come from, I don't know about you, but jerking typically means something a little different, but it's all right, it's okay. Ah, I'm just all pissed off, Mari. Sorry, I don't have my head screwed on straight. I'm all angry at him. Red points up to Jack a few hundred feet away.
I mean, yeah, I'm not a fan of the fact that he was apparently going through that puzzle box, but I thought you put that puzzle box away. I thought that was in your stuff.
I did put that puzzle box away, and he went into my... Look, okay, I'm not really that angry. I'm angry, but I'm not that angry. Look, I get scared about losing him. You know, he and I butt heads. He's like a brother to me. Probably more a brother than anybody else here, frankly. And that's probably why we butt heads so much. You know, what would have happened if we woke up and he was just dead, just gone? I can't deal with that kind of loss again. Not after Kraloth, not after everything we've been through. It's too much. And I can't say it to him because he just brushes it off. He always just turns around and says, oh, yeah, something like that. And it always makes me feel worse about saying it. So I just get angry at him. But also, I think I did something wrong.
Okay. I mean, well, there's a lot happening here. And I think that, you know, maybe I think it's okay if you talk to him about it. And
No, I can't.
What did you do?
Yeah, he saw something in my bag. Look, Torin and I have been in avocado.
All right.
And he asked me not to say anything to Jack. And I will respect that, you know. Look, way back when we first met Torin and I, you know, I don't know, hit it off a little bit. I guess he saw a little bit of youthful exuberance in me that was kind of kitschy, he said. I didn't get the word, but he said it. He asked me to pick up a present for Jack, even. So, you know, we hit back and we say this and that and whatever. But apparently he had spoken to Bea about some advice I had given her, and he wanted to reach out to me about similar advice. Bea, my daughter, you know, she was struggling because... Look, the whole point is, Torrance asked me not to talk to Jack about it right now. And I guess while searching through my bag, well, the group bag, really, he saw the letter. I wrapped it in a chicken.
Obviously. Red, like, looks at you as if that's the answer. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, so... So why would he look?
It should have been safe.
Yeah, it was...
Did that not carry over from Mastercut? Is that not?
No, okay. I usually keep my stuff in a folder. But what did you tell B? What did Torin tell you? I mean, I know you said you can't tell Jack, you can't talk to Jack about this. But you didn't say you couldn't talk to me.
I don't want to betray. Look, me and trust has been a very nebulous, poor thing in the past, and I'm trying to rebuild that. And look, Murray, this is nothing to do with you, I promise you. And honestly, I want to tell you, but maybe when we get back to Waterdeep, if Torin says it's okay, I can share it with you. The long and short of it is, I can't tell Jack what the letter said, per se, and it's something personal, and I'm kind of in a pickle, as Doran would say.
Jack is shuffling around, trying to kick snow out of where the fire pit was last night, and, you know, tripping over stuff, hidden under the snow, half falling over, just having a not very coordinated attempt at trying to, like, get down to something where that would be dry enough to, you know, start piling wood on.
Doran comes kind of humming up. He's so trying to look very natural. Hey, how's it going, Jack?
Jack, right? it was Jack, arm. Right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, Jack turns and looks at you and, like, makes eye contact, and his pupils are just so big.
Oh, and Doran, like...
What's up?
It turns around, starts to walk away, and then... No. Don't. He turns back around. Listen,
Where are you going?
You look like maybe you didn't want some company there for a moment, but I happen to see the exchange that you had with Red there. And, I mean, you know, we're all friends here, and I thought maybe you would like to talk about your feelings.
Mari made me come.
Or we don't have to.
She picked Red and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, my feelings. I'm feeling my head hurts. I got a headache. That's a feeling.
Yeah. You got blown into that tree pretty bad.
I'm feeling a little bit. Couldn't sleep much last night. That's so tired, I guess. Is that a feeling?
Yeah.
Tried to write a little bit. Had a couple ideas, but nothing seemed to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't make the tent anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't feel good about that either. I feel like that was kind of the thing that I was bringing to this, so...
But, like,
now I'm trying to make a fire.
So, what, you pulled out the puzzle box because you couldn't sleep? Is that what happened?
I had an idea of how I could get in there, and it worked.
But you sound like you're upset. I mean, you know, if there's anybody to be upset, I guess...
You never know what Red's keeping in that bag. He always surprises, you know, from live chicken to dead chicken to roasted chicken.
Yeah.
You can to soup. Yeah. Soup and paperwork right next to each other. It's words are my thing.
You didn't find something that he shouldn't have had, did he?
No, I didn't find anything I shouldn't have. There was nothing in there that Red shouldn't have had or couldn't have had. There's no reason for anything wrapped around any chickens in Red's bag to be a problem to me at all. It's fine.
Oh.
And now we just gotta kick the snow out of this fire pit, and Jack, like, kicks the snow out and falls on his ass in the snow, and start a fire for breakfast. That's what we gotta do.
We've got a fire going over there, and he points to the fire that was going over there.
Oh.
It's besides the point. I mean...
When?
Okay, we were sitting around making porridge. It's okay. But, you know, I mean, I think it's besides the point. You're obviously flustered, and... And your mind's elsewhere. I mean, look, if Red's stolen something from you, I mean, just you tell me. I mean, maybe this is a bigger issue than it is than what it seems to be. I mean, you know, he used to want to kill me. You know that, right? I mean, come on, who knows what he's hiding?
He did?
Yeah, don't you remember that?
No, I do.
Never wanted to kill you.
Yeah, no. There's just so much going on. It's nothing.
Jack. And Doran kind of walks up to you and reaches up to put his hand on your shoulder. And he kind of, like, looks up at you with his hand outstretched onto your shoulder. He says, "You can tell me, Jack. I'm a great confidant."
No, not a literal pickle. I'm saying I'm in a tough spot.
Can you tell me what you told B? Because clearly, that's tied to all of this.
Red turns around and, like, stares at the babbling brook for a moment, and then turns back. Look, we had a traveling companion with us for a while, much like your friend Elster there. Much like Elster and you, this friend of ours, Orin, grew very close to B. And the two of them, I don't know, I think they were a bit of an item at one point. And, well, Orin let B know of his feelings. And B didn't want that. B had a tough time with giving up her life of adventure, of travel, to settle down with somebody that she wasn't sure she loved. So we had a personal conversation about stuff that I went through and seeing the great wide world and all the things I wanted from her. I mean, it came from a dad perspective, but obviously it affected her in a positive way. And I guess, even though my intelligence score is pretty low, my wisdom is pretty damn high. So I justify a lot of these deeper moments in character.
I mean, you've got your wits about you.
I have to. It's my spell modifier.
I checked your pack. I saw the sheet.
Thank you. Wait, what? No, I get meta. What are you talking about? Yeah, so he's angry at me because he saw the letter. He couldn't read all the contents, thankfully. My chicken grease guise cleverly hid what I wanted it to hide. Red says, looking into the middle distance, like past you.
That was a really greasy chicken.
But why did you keep the letter?
I was eating chicken, and I needed a plate. It doesn't matter. Look, who's at fault here? Look, Jack has every right to go into the bag. It was stupid of me to leave it out. I suppose I owe Torrin an apology for that, but what the hell do I say to Jack? I can't tell him what the letter said or betray Torrin's trust. Mind you, I guess Jack's earned my trust more than Torrin, but... oh, I don't know. I'm all flummoxed. Is that the right word? Torrin, is it flummoxed?
No, it's flaxseed.
Got it!
Doran's flummoxed.
Well, I think we all kind of are, but I think in the end, you might have to talk to him, and you might have to make a call of whose trust is worth more to you. Because I think Jack, I don't know if you got a look at his hands, but something was in that puzzle box, a spell or kind of magic that I don't know. And he's looking rough in a way that is different than what I am used to seeing.
Jack? No, he's the same old Jack he's always been. You're overthinking it. He's fine. He was probably just angry because he read the letter and he didn't want to put the tent up for us. That's all.
Can I tell you something? Do you speak Gnomish? Do you know Infernal?
Gnomish? No. Infernal? No, I don't. I know Draconic, if that helps.
No. All right. Well... it's not...
oh, wait. Oh, never mind. I was going to say Jack has comprehend languages.
I know he does, but...
ah, yeah, you're right. Good point. Do you think we could ask him without telling him? Oh, no, that'd be tricky, eh?
I don't know.
But hold on, what should I do? Oh, you just think I should make the call? What would you do? Would you save Torrance Trust or tell Jack?
I think you're going to have to talk to Jack.
You tell him? You would betray Torrance Trust?
It's something that's still tied to Jack, and if he can't talk to you about it, then you both just have to carry it separately. And that will always be a wall that will exist between the two of you.
Once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S., Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C, Reagan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House. Woo!
That's the last thing I said was pickle. Return serve, Mary, pickle.
Yeah, I'm aware of those. We have those back at, we have them back home. We call them gherkins.
No, not a literal pickle. I'm saying I'm in a tough spot.
Yeah, we have those. We call them gherkins. What do you want?
I was trying to remember what we were discussing, and I was like trying to like think of back. I'm like,
welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.